like family.
Live from the DraftKings Sportsbook and Wild Rose Studio, this is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM. The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by NCMEC. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Take you until noon, bottom of the hour. We will get to Chris Williams. He's in Dallas, Arlington. We will get his take on the very latest. Some injury news, perhaps. We'll have some answers on Dylan Sainer. We will see. Trent. Trent's always going to join us. Part of the show.
I'm here.
His name's on it. But Chris will join us at 11:30 to talk about that. Claxon's giveaway. Our picks as well. Bama Bob joins the program. Hello, Bama. How are you?
I'm good, Kenny. How are you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you. Fun, wonderful weekend. Disappointing on some respects that the Coastal Carolina game is off. Is there any chance they could match those teams in a bowl game? I mean, does that make sense to crown the champion that way?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. You know, there's been so many ball games canceled, and you know, but a lot of teams have also opted out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of these bowls that are left have bowl tie-ins, you know, with conferences, and anybody is eligible this year. Any team with a losing record, you know, Arizona would be eligible if anybody wanted them, which they probably don't.
Didn't we get that one year with Boise and TCU before TCU, of course, joined the Big 12? Didn't we get that in the Fiesta Bowl? And the ratings stunk.
Did they?
And it wasn't a very good game on top of it.
Yeah.
You're one of these teams. You want to get your chance against a big boy. You want to get your chance against Florida.
Somebody's going to win the Sun Belt in the, what's the Independence Bowl called now, in Shreveport. I'm not saying send them to the Fiesta Bowl or anything like that. But
You want to get a chance. You're one of these. Yeah, I don't know. What does it mean?
Trent's probably right. I mean, if you're one of these two teams, would you like to play each other? Sure. Mm-hmm. But would you like to play, you know, if you're Coastal, would you like to play Florida?
I'm sure that's the case,
Lafayette maybe getting matched up with LSU in a bowl game? How fun would that be?
Yeah.
Well, they're not eligible.
Well, that's true. They banned themselves this year, so that's true. But, yeah, I don't hate the idea, but you know, Trent's right. I mean, both these schools probably want a shot at a Power Five.
I would think the Raging Cajuns want Coastal because Coastal's unbeaten. Raging Cajuns one loss. I would think Coastal, who's ever said the Florida matchup, they would want a big name Power Five school. Well, let's get into the big name Power Five schools. We will hear. Starts tonight. Pac-12 tonight. We've got Oregon and USC. And Trent Condon, you go first on the Pac-12. Your thoughts?
I like this USC team. I like watching them. They're entertaining to watch. Maybe it's a little bit of the fire drill that seems like is happening from time to time, but they're an exciting game.
I like Slovis.
Slovis is a really nice player. They got dudes on the outside, those wide receivers. That group is fun to watch. Not much defensively, but you're going to be entertained. But remember, Oregon, before all the craziness, a lot of people thought this was a preseason top 10 team.
That's true.
Now, they had opt-outs, including the best non-quarterback of the draft coming up. And he'll be top three pick more than likely.
He'll go third. I'm with you.
So this is still a talented Oregon team. I like Oregon tonight.
Do you?
I like Oregon
tonight. You get a couple of points,
right? Three, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't love them. I like them. I think you're going to see a good matchup here. This is going to be one. We didn't see a ton of Pac-12, but we'll say, thank goodness for that championship game. It was fun, even if the quote-unquote right team wasn't there. And everybody acting all sacrimonious about Washington, they didn't even leave Husky Stadium this year. Did they really deserve a championship bid not even leaving their own stadium? Come on.
Yeah. So you let me know how that one goes, because I'll be locked and loaded on Rutgers, Nebraska.
I know you will.
I'll be watching this one. Bama, your thoughts on the Pac-12 championship?
Yeah, this is a fun one. I'm kind of with Trent. I do feel a little bit bad for Washington that they didn't get their shot, or you know. But listen, this is such a goofy year. I think when we thought we were going to have a full season, you know, before we, back in the spring, summer, even we thought, all this will be over with by then. Mm-hmm. These are the two teams. I think that you looked at and go, okay, this, you know, these are the ones that should be there. They are here. You mentioned Slovis. I really like him. I'm with Trent. I would take the points on the Ducks. Again, don't love it. USC, I think, has kind of been underestimated all year. Big comeback last week against Washington. I'm sorry, against UCLA.
Huge.
20 points in the fourth quarter, whatever. Saved their season, maybe saved their coach's job. Who knows? And look, they've beaten some good teams. I mean, UCLA is a good team. I think Washington State's a good team. Utah's not a bad team. Arizona stinks. And Arizona State, I think we all like. But, you know, all that being – so we've kind of underestimated them all year. Oregon, their coach, just signed a new extension. He was in the running for the – or not in the running. Who knows, really. Rumored for the Auburn job. They lock him up, have some stability in the program. Fun game. Don't love it, but if I'm betting on it, I'm going to grab the 3 points. I just think it's going to be. The over under 64.5. That's a pretty high number. I'm staying away from overs in the Pac-12.
We got in trouble
more, so yeah, we did.
You learned your lesson.
Look, I think it's a fun game, and for a Friday night, high school's over, 7 o'clock, Fox. I mean, why not? I like it.
I'm with you. West Virginia, Iowa State, and basketball probably won't be real entertaining, so going to watch a lot of football here tonight. Bama, speaking of Iowa State, it's them. It's Oklahoma. Oklahoma's coming in on a significant winning streak, six in a row for them. Two of them, look, they pounded Texas Tech. They pounded Kansas. I was impressed by Bedlam. I think that was their best win of the year. Texas, it took them 4 overtimes to put them away in the Red River Shootout. Baylor gave them fits for a while. Oklahoma's better. How do you see? I mean, they're playing better. I don't mean they're better than Iowa State, because I like the Clones. Who do you like?
This is a tough one for me. I have been on Iowa State all year. I have said I think they're the most complete team in the Big 12. You know, offense, defense, special teams, coaching, running, passing, everything. They can do everything. That said, here's what I don't like about this. I don't like the venue for Iowa State. It's indoors. It's on turf. Oklahoma's a faster team. They generally will have more speed and maybe a little bit better athletes. It's climate controlled, so you're not going to have to worry about the wind and the passing game, which is what they love to do. You know, they're running the ball a little bit better. They're not running it great. I love Breece Hall. I love Purdy at quarterback. Those tight ends are just absolutely amazing. So they could give Oklahoma fits. I want to pick Iowa State. I just think Oklahoma is playing at a better tempo right now for offense that could give them fits. Iowa State's last game out, I think, shocked all of us the way they just absolutely destroyed West Virginia. I did not see that coming.
That was a close game.
The margin. I might have had that, 21-17, something like that. So their defense really performed that day. But Oklahoma, as you mentioned, that whatever it is, they've kind of figured it out. Rooting like hell for Iowa State. I just think, and I might even take the points. I think this could be I don't know, 31-27. So, 31-27, field goal game, something like that. Iowa State's going to compete. They're going to fight. I just think Oklahoma, for whatever reason, you mentioned those 6 in a row, they figured something out. These are, I think, by far and away, also the 2 best coaches in the Big 12. And I don't even know I don't know who third is. And I don't know that you can really distinguish between Campbell and Riley. Love these coaches and love how they've got their teams to play. I'm going to take the Sooners and probably grab the points from Iowa State.
Trent?
And I hope I'm wrong.
This is a pick. I will be picking an in-state game. I know, Ken, you hate doing that picks at the end of the show. I am on this game. My second favorite bet of the weekend.
Interesting. Okay, good. Let's move on then, Trent, and we will stick with you. Let's go to the Big Ten. It's Northwestern, it's Ohio State, and what's about 3 touchdowns?
It is, yeah. It's a touch under 20. I saw a 19.5 pop for just like a moment yesterday at a couple of shops and quickly went back up to 20. Probably get a hover around there, maybe gets to 21 tomorrow. I know a lot of people are pointing to what happened 2 years ago. And Northwestern hung around. late touchdown by Ohio State, and they covered the number. But it was a better game than I think people anticipated. I don't think that's going to be the case here. The limitations of Northwestern offensively, mm-hmm. in order to beat Ohio State, you got to make plays up the field. They don't have the wide receivers to do that. I don't think they have the quarterback to do that. Obviously, Ramsey, a big upgrade from what they had a year ago. Still not that kind of guy. I think this thing is destined pretty ugly. 42-10 type of just boring clunker, and say, well, there's other good things on. Won't have to worry about watching the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, that's for sure. Flip over to ABC. Mm-hmm. Bama, how do you see the Big Ten? Is it going to be close?
I'm afraid not. I'm kind of with Trent here. Listen, this is a different animal the Northwestern's faced all year. And listen, Ohio State, they're in, but they're not in, if you know what I mean, in terms of this, the playoff. They're ranked number four. You would think if they keep winning, they would get in. If Florida upsets Alabama, which I don't think is going to happen, Ohio State needs to make a statement, is what I'm saying, because they're only going to have six wins. The committee has already said, the number of games you play matters. Texas A&M was out there lurking. They played a full schedule, one loss to the number one team in the country. So I'm afraid Ohio State's going to want to make a statement. I think they're capable of making a statement. When you go back and look at Northwestern, you give them just an absolute ton of credit, and I don't want to start diminishing them now. We've been playing them up all season. But when you really go look at, Wisconsin, their offense has fallen apart. Michigan State, Illinois, Nebraska, not exactly a murderer's row, and those games have been tight. You go look on the other side, Michigan State, other than the Indiana game, Rutgers, Penn State, Ohio State's just kind of taking teams to the woodshed. I think it happens again. I'm with Trent. I could see something, 48-14, something like that, 48-17. Again, I hope I'm wrong, but you bet with your head, not your heart, and I would take Ohio State and lay the points in this one.
Yeah, I thought there was a time watching Ohio State and Indiana, I thought Ohio State was just going to crush them. But
it looked like they were going to run away.
It did, didn't it? But it got interesting.
And they can. I think they have that ability, and that's what worries me. And if the problem is, guys, if they get out ahead, Northwestern just doesn't have the horses to catch up. Yeah, they've got to keep it close. They have to keep it close and, make Ohio State nervous late, because if this thing gets out 21-0, they got no chance to catch up.
I'm seeing a whole bunch of national people that are taking the points in the ACC championship, Bama, that think that this is going to be a football game. The Clemson may win, but they're not going to win by 10.5. This is going to be a very tight game, a very close game. Is it going to be Bama?
I don't think so. I think there's another team, something to prove here. And look, Trevor Lawrence is just the difference maker. I know that, and I'm not even going to try DJ, whatever his name was.
He threw a bunch.
Yeah, he had a good game.
Yes, he did.
And everybody's talking about, forget Lawrence, but they still gave up 47. Well, I get that. There was also double overtime. I think this game may be, I don't think it's going to be a runaway, but I think Clemson, this is a type that they just kind of pull away late. I think this is close. This Notre Dame team is better than I thought they were. I'll say that going in. Ian Book. Kim, we were both wrong about him, I think, at the beginning of the year.
No doubt.
One of us were, liked him very much, or not liked him, but, he hadn't shown a lot. He's done that this year. I go back to kind of that Louisville game, and I'm just like, I look at teams, like Ohio State or Alabama or Clemson when they had Lawrence. They just don't play games like that. They're not going to beat Louisville 12-7. And I know that's maybe a one-off, and they've gotten better, and listen, they can be feisty. I just think this is one of those where maybe it's close early, but Lawrence is just the difference in the game. And they've got everybody back on defense, particularly the linebacker, who I think is just really a key for them. And look, I think Clemson pulls away late, and I would lay the points late. I could see this as a, 35-24. Four kind of game, something like that, where they get a late touchdown, maybe two, to cover the spread. I like Clemson. They're a championship team. They played in the last, four title games, whatever it is, and split them. They're just a championship pedigree team. They're experienced. They've got all the weapons. Etienne is just otherworldly. And he, when Trevor Lawrence is in the game, he's better. Mm-hmm. And he, if he's better this game than he was last game, that's a problem for Notre Dame. They've been great all year. I think Clemson wins, and I think we're going to see an absolute dogfight for this fourth spot in the playoff.
Mm. Yeah, I forgot about that angle to things. Trent, who do you like in the ACC? Yeah.
So go back to that first game. You mentioned DJ Uiagalelei and what he did.
Look at you. You just wanted to say his name.
I got that in the back.
He's been practicing, Bam. I got to give him credit.
Well, Bambi gave me plenty of time to practice there.
He's a professional. What would you say?
But remember the game plan. What is Notre Dame? What were they going to do? Travis Etienne, you're getting nothing.
All right.
You come
Make
with
the
that
kid throw.
You came with that exact same game plan. Trevor Lawrence is going to throw for 600 yards. Mm-hmm. You have
exactly.
So I think Etienne is going to be a whole lot better in this game. There's going to be running lanes for him. He's going to play so much better than what we saw in South Bend. The number I think is right now at 7 where it opened. I was all about, oh, yeah, I'll lay that with Clemson. Now at 10.5.
Makes you think.
It's kind of in that comeback. I think it's a really good line, but I think this is going to be a game where Clemson is comfortable. It's not, oh, boy, biting your nails with a couple minutes to go. It's a comfortable Clemson victory, but right around that number.
All right, I've got that one in my picks. I've also got this one in my picks, my best bet, and I've been harping on it all week, Bama. I think Bama is just going to crush Florida. Look, Bama... But is there a chance that Surtain covers Pitts? I mean, who's going to try and shut... I don't know how you can shut him down, but Patrick Surtain is a hell of a player. Might they put him on the tight end?
I think it's going to be just a combo coverage. I don't... Nick Saban in general, and that's a great question, Kim, because Pitts is the X factor here. He is unlike anything in the country. He's certainly like any... that Alabama has seen. I still say if he played last week, they beat LSU. We all know the issues really are Florida's defense. I mean, they've just been horrible how LSU was in that game. But to answer your question, Nick Saban generally doesn't, it's not like a, Richard Sherman type thing or, God, the guy for the Rams. Can't think of his name. The corner.
Oh, Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey.
Ramsey. Yeah. Good Lord, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, I should know that. Where sometimes they will, he'll have a guy, follow somebody. Mm-hmm. But listen, they line up Pitts. Sometimes he's on the line of scrimmage, okay? And he goes, tight, and he's eligible and goes out that way. Sometimes they put him in the slot. They put him out wide. So it's really hard to track him because they move him around so much. So I think it's just going to be, listen, they're going to design their coverage, I think, to stop him because he is by far their best weapon. I don't know that we'll see, somebody shadow him or spy him. Nick Saban generally doesn't do that. Now, look, if they have a problem with him that they can't do it early, then, yeah, maybe he will. Maybe he'll put his best guy on him wherever he is. The problem is because I think they move Pitts around so much, it gets other people out of position a little bit, okay? Especially if they put him in motion or whatever. So that's kind of the game within the game. But other than that, I mean, the line is 17. I want to give Florida a little more credit than that, but nobody has stopped Alabama this year. Florida has had a hell of a time stopping anybody. So I think they're going to have to win a shootout, and I don't know that they can win a shootout with Alabama. I don't know about the 17. Personally, I'm staying away from that line maybe because I'm a little bit, too involved in it, and I've watched so much of Alabama, and you start thinking, man, you see kind of a little bit of the weaknesses. Harris is an X factor. I mean, he's just a truck out there. And then we all know Devontae Smith. I mean, listen, he's in the running for the Heisman. Some say he's the favorite for the Heisman.
I've heard he was.
The two quarterbacks until last week, Trask was maybe the favorite. Devontae Smith could win a Heisman this week. I mean, if he goes out and again, 10 catches, 200 plus, close to 200 yards, two or three touchdowns, which is possible, he could walk away with a Heisman. He saw him scoring a punt return last week. He's just a weapon everywhere. I'm going to say I'm with Trent on the last game. I think this line is about right. I could see Florida squeaking it into maybe 14 points late, maybe. Again, a game that Florida, I think, is going to have to keep close. I think they're also going to have to run it. I mean, if I don't care who you are and how many weapons you have, if you throw the ball 50 times, Alabama's going to hit you, and they are going to pick a couple of them. So they're going to have to come up. Pierce is going to have to be pretty good in the running game. But listen, find me a weakness in Alabama. I haven't seen one all year, especially since the second half of that Georgia game. Have not found a weakness on this team. So, line's probably about right. I think Alabama wins comfortable. I don't think it's going to be any kind of 52-10 or anything like that.
I do.
Because Florida, well, I hope you're right, but Florida can't put up points, and Pitts is just an absolute nightmare.
Need Lane Kiffin to come in and be a consultant. He knows how to move the ball. He gets that Alabama defense.
Is there a non-championship game that gets either your attention? Did we just lose Bama? No, we didn't.
No, he's there. He's there. For me, it's the Mountain West. I'm going to be picking that game later on.
Are you?
But Boise State, of course, the old traditional mid-major power. And that San Jose State story, it's incredible. Can't be at home, can't practice, can't go to school, and yet here they are undefeated and playing for a Mountain West championship.
Bama's there. What other game gets your attention this weekend?
I'm going Lane Kiffin and Baton Rouge, baby. You know, listen, LSU coming
what time's
off that week.
Oh, 2:30.
2:30, SEC Network, yeah. I mean, you know, after the, it's kind of right in between everything. Yep. You know, it's after the early ones, before the late ones. You know, look, he's got LSU coming off that high last week, winning at Florida. Kiffin is in the keeps being rumored for the Auburn job. I don't think it'll happen. But listen, he's coached at an SEC school 1 year and left in the past, so who really knows? But listen, he's going to want to. This is the game. He knows this is not a great LSU team. It's not a great LSU defense. And this is one of those kind of statement games for the future, I think, for Ole Miss. It's like, hey, you know what? And they've signed a great recruiting class. They're ranked, I think, in the top 10 in recruiting, which is great for them. This is one of those games I think Lane Kiffin's going to try to knock on the door and go, listen, we're going to be a factor here. You're going to have to deal with us, LSU. You already saw what they did against Alabama, even though they lost. You know, A&M's in that division too. This division is going to get loaded again, and I think this is a game for Lane Kiffin to tell Ed Orgeron, you're going to have to deal with me. So I'm all over this one at 2:30.
Give me the battle for the basement in the Big Ten. I cannot wait. It's Nebraska. It's Rutgers.
You're going to want to break that thing down for 20 minutes on Monday. I know you.
No, Wednesday with Sipple.
We will have that time.
Bama, enjoy the weekend, brother. Thank you. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Always enjoy it, guys. Take care. Enjoy the game.
Good to talk to you. I'm watching that game today.
I know you. I know you.
Nebraska Rutgers. Can you imagine if Nebraska gets beat badly?
Yeah. It's not out of the stretch of imagination
it's
here.
It's not.
Just get in there and 31-3 clubbing.
Yeah. And I don't like to extract a pound of flesh on them. I'm not that guy.
You're one of the few that aren't that.
I know. I mean, that's true. That's true. Maybe it's because Sip's my pal. I don't
sure.
Anyways, but, well, you know what? Chris Williams is a good friend, too.
Yes.
And he's coming up next. Did you see the Cyclone Fanatic team have just posted their picks on their website?
Oh, no, I haven't.
All but one picking Iowa State, and the one that didn't pick Iowa State, I think he had his tongue planted firmly in cheek.
Ah.
But the way Chris has Iowa State winning, I'll talk about when he joins us next. Klaxons in 20 minutes, our picks in about 25, Miller and Condon till noon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals, and a happy new year from your friends at Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM. This is KXNO.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. About 15 minutes away from giving four of our listeners an opportunity to win some Klaxon's Barbecue in Ames. It's coming up about 11:45-ish. Our picks to follow before we get out of here at noon. Off to Dallas we go. Arlington, to be specific. He's Chris Williams, CycloneFanatic.com. The Fanatics here on KXNO, starting weekdays at 4. Chris, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I am great. How are you? Man, it's weird. It feels like old times with Ken introducing me. I love it. I missed this.
Did that for a long time, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know
what? I miss you, man.
Yeah, ditto.
I mean, I know we're on the same state, but we just never see each other anymore.
No,
it's good
we
to
don't.
Hear from you.
Our trivia question to give away our T-shirt was earlier this morning. 2 weeks from today, KXNO turns 20 years old. How about that? 20th birthday party.
Wow.
And no one can come.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. That's incredible. We should do like an hour on that.
I'm
for
in.
Real and just talk about it.
I'm
That'd
in.
Be great.
Lots of history. Well, Chris, speaking of history, Iowa State's got a chance to make a little bit of it. Your prediction of how this game is going to end, if it comes down to a last-second field goal for Iowa State to propel them to a Big 12 championship, what would the percentage of Cyclone fans be that actually can look at their television before the kick is in the air?
What's funny is in our predictions column, it's Cyclone Fanatic. That's what I predicted it comes down to.
I know you did.
Trying to be positive. Yeah. We're gonna watch Iowa State play some demons down here. Yeah, wouldn't it be fitting, though? Like,
yes.
With all the problems all the year, especially when it comes to Iowa State trying to get into this very game and kicking problems. And here's the deal, though, Ken. Like, I'll just speak for myself. I just feel different about Iowa State football than I used to. I don't just expect the worst thing to happen. I mean, that was really the case for a really long time, and I don't feel like that with this group. And I if the one thing I've learned over the last 15-20 years of being so close to this program and being around it is that you often, and really just in life too, I guess this is more of a football, more of a life conversation than football, but you really create your own luck. Right. And if you have better players, then the bad luck things tend to not happen as much. And I think probably, Ken, when we started doing these shows together a really long time, when I started coming on your shows, I probably didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I thought like that bad things just happened to my teams and that I was cursed and all this stuff. Not me, but my teams were, right. I felt cursed as a fan, but now I think I've learned watching Campbell's teams over the last few years, it's not a fluke that they went 8-1 in the Big 12 this year, but they didn't last year and the year before, right? Like they have better players. It's that simple. And they've developed players. They have a lot of the same guys, but they've gotten better every year. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten stronger. They've gotten more physical. And I hope Iowa State fans across the board feel that way. Like the Texas game was a perfect example. Like that's just a game in the past that you just expect.
The field goal's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what happened? Well, Latrell Bankston went out and got a big sack and made it a tougher field goal and the guy missed it. Right. Like you hold a lot of that in your own hands. That's how I feel tomorrow. I don't know. I think the game's a total toss up.
Me too.
I really do. And, I think if Iowa State loses, that we'll all be able to look in the mirror and be like, man, Oklahoma's a better team. They've improved a lot, and they beat Iowa State. I don't think it's going to be a deal where you look at it and, man, we pissed that down our leg. That's where I feel like with this program now, and it's a good feeling to not just constantly be waiting for the next, kick to the stones. Because, and that could come. Again, like, I don't know. I really... They're a 5.5-point underdog for a reason. Vegas doesn't just do that just to make Iowa State fans mad. There's a reason for that, and we'll find out. But I'm not just sitting around waiting for the next bad thing to happen like I did 10 years ago.
Speaking of 10 years ago, where you were, it looked like this league very easily could dismantle. And where's Iowa State left? And you get through that. Then, all right, we pick up the pieces. We invite West Virginia, TCU. But now every single year, there's no duck in Oklahoma or Texas Tech or Baylor if they're up. Whatever it is, you're playing everybody. An outright regular season 8-1 run, realistically, even with Campbell. And I know you were in on Campbell right away. Did you really think this was a possibility until maybe the last 2 years?
No. I thought that when the Big 12 went to 10 teams, like that it was really a... doomsday isn't right, but I just even like when Iowa State had good years back in the day with some of those McCarney teams. Well, I mean, it, if you look at the schedules, the years they weren't playing Texas and Oklahoma, you know, like it's just, I hate to be that way, but, and I'm not taking anything away from what Dan McCartney did, but they were getting breaks on the schedule. And that was kind of like, as an Iowa State fan, you kind of waited and you hoped that the team personnel wise could peak on the years where you had a shot.
That's right.
And then
cycle.
All of a sudden it's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you've got to play 9 conference games, so you're getting rid of one of your layups because you still have to play Iowa, right? So there goes that MAC game or that, you know, whoever. So you're losing a win there, and then now you've got to play this round robin that it's a Texas-centric league before. Now it's, you know, half the teams are from there. You're a geographic outlier. Yeah, I thought that was a really bad spot. Like, it was better than being in the MAC. But just football wise, it made things really difficult. And the recruiting thing that Matt's done, has really been genius. He taught, guys, we cover these press conferences when a guy gets hired and we hear a lot and then you don't, it's kind of like a politician, right? When they're campaigning, they say a lot, but then how often can they act on it? And Matt gave us that line of, we're going to be the Midwest option in the Big 12. And that's exactly what they've done. And you kind of just kind of take your hat off to it because the guy had a plan. He stuck to it and it's worked.
A couple more minutes, Chris, we'll let you go. Is Sainer going to play?
I'm just being brutally honest with you guys. It's so hard getting injury information now. Yeah. It was hard before. But now, like, everything's locked down. You can't talk to anybody face-to-face. I would guess he gives it a go. But if I was going to be completely honest with you, I can't give you a great answer on that because the injury thing has been so locked down. But I would guess he gives it a go. Isaiah Lee, I think, will be back based on what I was kind of hearing that I think he even could have gone against West Virginia. But they're so deep on the D-line. And that's another thing that, man, like, sounds crazy saying that about Iowa State football, but they let him get healthy. I think Isaiah Lee will be back. But to me, Ken, that's an astute question. I think matchup-wise, that's one of the biggest things for Iowa State is because Oklahoma, and I know one thing I respect and love about listening to your guys' show is there's just a lot of talking heads that don't watch the games. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma, I know you guys do, and you've seen they're so much better on defense than they were in October. But if you watch that game in October again, they were actually really good up front defensively. They really were. It was the back seven that was just confused and missing assignments that Iowa State could really take advantage of. Since that game, Oklahoma's got like a top 10 rush defense in college football. And, they're elite up front. So having Sainer and that extra big, I think he's an NFL guy. I think he'll, at the very least, be in a camp. I think he'll get drafted because of what he can do blocking-wise. I think he's a guy who, like, if I were to look at Iowa State's senior tight ends, him and Chase Allen, and go, okay, what should these guys do because they can come back, right? I would encourage Sainer to go pro. I think he could be a guy who could get drafted right away. And I would think Chase Allen would probably be better off coming back and, you know, proving himself one more year. And, you know, he was a Iowa State kid growing up, so you're going to come back and, you know, if the chips fall right, you could be a preseason top 10. That'd probably mean a lot to Chase. But that's just how much I think of Dylan. And I think that his blocking tomorrow will be absolutely critical. Even with Breece Hall, if Iowa State wants to have a really consistent running game, having Dylan back would be huge.
30 seconds, Chris. Brock Purdy needs to be the best quarterback on the field tomorrow. Rattler's a really good player. I think he can be. I think he's the biggest difference in this team the way they finished. It's been the elevation in Brock Purdy's game.
Totally agree. He has been kind of like an offensive coordinator on the field. And his extension of plays, I think that's another thing tomorrow. I mean, if I was looking at this game and could find a matchup where if I'm an Oklahoma fan I like, it's that D-line versus Iowa State's offensive line. As much better as Iowa State is, that's still a tall task. And Brock's just the way he can extend plays is critical. And that's how you get some big plays to open up down the field. I completely agree. Brock looks like an NFL quarterback right now. He'll need to do that tomorrow.
Good luck to your squad, Chris Williams.
Appreciate it, guys. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
We'll talk soon.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. All Chris right. Williams. Good to talk to Chris Williams. And look forward to talking to four of our listeners right now with 284-5966, 284-5966. Klaxon's Barbecue Giveaway. The first four callers, if you're getting a ring and the phone lines are jammed, that means you're in. Stay right there. Miller and Condon back with Klaxon's and our picks, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
It's the 12 days of Christmas. Listen to the sports fanatics every day as Chris Williams reaches into his sack and pulls out a great prize from one of your favorite full court press restaurants. Gift cards, growlers, t-shirts, glasses, food, and more from El Bait Shop, Lucky Horse Tavern, Fong's Pizza, The Royal Mile, and more of your favorite places. Enter online to win the grand prize at KXNO.com. It's the 12 days of Christmas. From Full Court Press and Des Moines Sports Station, KXNO.
Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Our final segment, Klaxon's 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. And then our picks, KlaxonBBQ.com. The winner's going to get $35 worth of barbecue. The runner-up gets $25. We've got four games and a tiebreaker. Dan, Shane, Ronnie, and Jim in that order. Dan, you go first. Dan, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good.
Oklahoma is a 5.5-point favorite over Iowa State.
Clones.
Bama, 17.5 over Florida.
Bama.
Clemson, 10.5 over Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
On the hardwood, Gonzaga, 2.5-point favorite over the Hawks.
Gonzaga.
Tiebreaker, Breece Hall, total rushing yards, closest without going over.
119.
Dan, have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shane is next. Shane, welcome to the program.
All right. Hi.
Oklahoma, 5.5 over Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Bama, 17.5 over the Gators.
Bama.
Clemson gives 10.5 to Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Gonzaga, 2.5-point favorite over Iowa tomorrow.
Iowa.
Breece Hall's total rushing yards, closest without going over. Shane?
Let's do 103.
Shane, have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thanks.
Ronnie is next. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello.
Oklahoma is a 5.5-point favorite over Iowa State.
I got to go with Oklahoma.
Okay. Alabama, 17.5 over Florida.
Alabama.
Clemson, 10.5 over Notre Dame.
Clemson.
Zags give 2.5 to the Hawks.
Zags.
Breece Hall, total rushing yards, closest without going over.
101.
Thanks, Ronnie. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jim brings it to a close. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Oklahoma, 5.5 over the Clones.
Oklahoma.
Alabama, 17.5 over the Gators.
I'll take Florida. I don't think anybody took them yet.
I don't think so. Clemson, 10.5 over Notre Dame.
Clemson.
Gonzaga, 2.5 to the Hawks tomorrow.
Iowa.
Breece Hall's total rushing yards, closest without going over.
75.
Have a good weekend, Jim. Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Good to talk to you. And that'll wrap up Klaxon's. And thank you to Klaxon's, 3131 8th Street Southwest in Altoona. All right, Mr. Condon, you stunk last week.
I did. 1-4, and you're right back in the game as you are 36-33-1 against the number. I am 40-29-1, a four-game lead as you went 4-1. The tee box is yours, Mr. Miller.
All right, let's get to it. Let's start in the NFL. Look, I watched Carolina last week. I watched Drew Lock throw four touchdown passes against the Panthers. Carolina's defense has Aaron Rodgers this week. Good luck. Lay the eight, Carolina. Tomorrow night, game one. Drew Brees is back for New Orleans. I made this pick before that. I thought it was going to be Taysom Hill, but you know what? You only have to give a field goal, and I get Patrick Mahomes. Okay. Chiefs, -3 over New Orleans. In the ACC, I like Clemson. I'll lay the 10.5. Tonight, a little Maction action. Buffalo is a 13.5-point favorite over Ball State, Trent. Buffalo can run the football. Lay the 13.5. My best bet of the week. Best bet in a long time. I think Alabama is simply going to destroy Florida. Florida might score 14, 17, 21 points. I don't know how Alabama's going to be stopped. That defense? P.U. Trent.
We got some disagreements here. This is going to be good. Let's, in fact, start with our disagreement. And it's my best bet of the weekend. I'm going best bet first tonight.
Ball State?
Any single statistical model you look at, say this point spread should be 6, 6.5. Maybe a touchdown is as high as you're going to find. This is all about what we've seen from Buffalo running the football. That's all this is. When you actually look at it analytically, this is a terrible spread. Grab the points. And Ball State, my best bet of the weekend. Love the college slate. Love the championship games. Let's go to the Big 12. Said it all week. Iowa State is better, too. And it's annoyed me from all the national talking heads all week long. Yo, Oklahoma's better. Yeah, Iowa State's a lot better, too. Uh-huh. 5.5, it's way too many. Grab the Cyclones and the points. We finish up with the story of the college football year to me, and that's San Jose State. Displaced, an awful football program historically, and what they are now playing for an undefeated season and a chance to do it against Boise. Grab the points here, 6.5. It's too many. This is a tight one. Not a very good offensive Boise team. Think you're going to enjoy that. To the NFL for a couple of picks. A couple more dogs, no surprise this week. And a couple of them just a shade under a touchdown. Play with that if you will. Atlanta getting 6.5 against Tampa. I don't get it. Atlanta last week let a game slip away against the Chargers. 6.5 is too many at home in a divisional game. And then Philadelphia getting 6.5 against Arizona. You wouldn't lay that many with Arizona. I know they played better last week. I'm not comfortable with that. Jalen Hurts does enough to keep it close. The Eagles plus 6.5. Atlanta plus 6.5. San Jose State plus 6.5. Iowa State plus 5.5. And Ball State plus 13 and a hook. My best bet, 40-29-1 against the number, 58%. Let's try to get back to 60 this week.
All right, good stuff. That's going to do it. Look, normally, over the course of my career, I'm Switzerland. Not this weekend. For 25 years, Clone fans, I've been talking about how much your team stinks. I am rooting for you in, not that you need me, but I'm go Iowa State. Beat the Sooners. Win this thing. Shut the national pundits up. And I think they've got a chance, and I think Brock Purdy's going to be the difference in this football game. He certainly has been in the last 4 years. I am rooting for your squad. I don't know if I'll learn the fight. Well, maybe I will by the time it kicks off tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
At least Sweet Caroline, you can get that one down.
I've got that one. My wife sings it all. She's a huge fan.
So she's got you figured out there.
Well, her baby's got 2 degrees from Iowa State.
How about Iowa Gonzaga?
Great question. I like the Hawks, Trent. It's the layoff that worries me for Gonzaga. I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
That look-ahead line, I told you right away, I jumped on the Zags, and I might be buying back now because that layoff, we're talking 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And hoops, that's a long, long break.
No, it is, and that's the reason. I cannot wait to watch Timmy V. Garza. That's going to be pretty good. Well, we'll talk all about it on Monday. There'll be plenty of talk still to come on these airwaves. Murph and Andy at 2, the Fanatics at 4. Saturday morning pregame is on the air tomorrow after the Big 12 championship at some point. Cyclone sound off. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. We're Miller and Condon, 10 to noon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.